We see Paul speaking to the church in Rome. Obviously, the people he is speaking to include some people who are of Jewish tradition because they understand the Hebrew law. And so he is saying to them, in love of Christ and in love of fellow man is the fulfillment of the law. The Old Testament speaks in great detail of the law that was given by God to the Hebrew people. And so they spoke of themselves as God's people, as people of the law, as people of the God of their ancestors who, the tradition has it, brought them these laws. And the law was very important to them. But we know that in Jesus' time, the keepers of the law had sometimes become self-centered and self-seeking and had used the law in such a way as to make it no longer God's law, but something that made it harder for the people, something that made the people have to struggle more, something that took the people away from God, not brought them closer to God. And so Christ came to show us the embodiment of God's love. We speak of Jesus as God's love incarnated. And in doing so, he did not eliminate the law. Would we say that it's okay to murder because Jesus has come? Of course not. Would we say that it's okay to break the commandments because Jesus is here now? No. That's not what we're saying at all. We're not saying that it's okay to break the commandments, that it's okay to break the law. We are saying that if we love God, if we love Jesus, if we love other people the way He loved us, then the law and an understanding of the law comes out of that love. We would not do those things because we love people. Would you murder somebody you loved? Would you steal from somebody you loved? Of course not. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Well, that's fine, but what about us? We sometimes refer to different points of view as Old Testament and New Testament Christians. Christians who get focused on the law, the commandments. This is how things are supposed to be done. This is what the book says. These are the words that we need to follow. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. We need rules. We need laws. And then the other side who says, but it's the love of God that's important. If I love, then what do I need rules for? If I love, then what do I need laws for? If I love, that's more important than rule or law. And that's okay too. But in reality, we need both. We all need both. Reminds me of a story I heard about a soccer game. Young man took his son to the soccer game. And he didn't know a whole lot about soccer, but he knew his son really loved to play and all of his little friends loved to play. And they were pretty young. They were just getting started in the game. And it happened that the coach wasn't there yet when he arrived. And more kids came and he was waiting around for the coach. And parents were dropping the kids off, asking him if he minded watching their kids until the coach came. No, he didn't mind. And he got the call on his cell phone that the coach was on the way, but he'd been delayed. And I don't remember what it was that caused the delay, but the kids were running around and they wanted to play soccer. So they came to him and said, Mr. Smith, will you be our coach? And he said, I really don't know the rules of the game. And they said, well, we have to have an adult. And he said, well, y'all just go ahead and play. And so they started trying to play the soccer game and they got into arguments and they got frustrated and, you know, people were doing stuff they weren't supposed to because there was nobody there to tell them how it was supposed to go. The dad wanted him to have fun, but instead what he saw was chaos and confusion, was anger and frustration, was all stuff that he really didn't intend to encourage. And yet, because he really didn't know the rules of the game, he could not oversee them properly. Well, of course, the coach showed up late, and as soon as he got there, everybody started following the rules and doing what he said, and the coach guided them in the way that coaches do, and they had a great game, and they enjoyed it. and they had a good time. We're like those kids. If we try and do everything just on how we feel without rules, then chaos occurs. We may be well-intentioned. We may be trying to help other people. We may be trying to live in love, but we are human. You knew that. We're human. And so we make mistakes. We get it wrong. We get our priorities confused. We think we're doing something loving and we realize we're really hurting people. And so we struggle. We have God's law so that we have a structure, a set of rules to follow. And so I see some people come to church because they have felt God's love, and then they become part of something organized because they need the structure. And I see other people who are raised up in the church, who are raised up in the structure, who just kind of show up because it's the rules. A friend of mine used to say to his son, "Is your last name Anderson?" And the son would say, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Well, then you go to church because our name is Anderson and we go to church." You didn't have to explain it any further. We're Andersons, we go to church. Okay. That was the rule. We follow the rules, and then over time we come to understand the love because of what we experience playing the game. Some people play sports and, you know, they're never going to be great baseball players, great football players, but they enjoy it. They have a good time. Then they turn into armchair quarterbacks like myself, who likes to watch the game on TV and gets really disappointed when he can't find it on the tube, like yesterday. But I still, you know, enjoy the game. I was never any good at sports. I had asthma. I couldn't breathe good. We didn't have the medicines back then that we have now for kids that help them do those things. Some people love it. And so they really get into it. And it becomes their life. And they play professional sports. And when they come out, they still want to do things related to sports. It's important to them because they care about it so much. Other people learn to love it. Same thing with church. Some of us came to God because of love and then learned that we needed structure. Some people came to church because of structure and then learned we needed love. But we all need both. We are none of us complete without both structure and love. Some of us focus on one more than the other, or one at a different time than the other. That's okay. We need all of you. We need all of us working together to be the church. We talked about that a couple of Sundays ago. But in our communion, we have a structure, we have a tradition, we have a tradition that goes back 2,000 years to that first communion, or as we say, the Last Supper, Christ's Last Supper, that we reenact over and over again. Do we just go through the motions? Well, sometimes. Just like we stand up and sit down and sing and talk and, you know, do all the things we do. But the idea is that in standing up and sitting down and singing and talking and listening to me, something should happen. Over time, something should change. We should learn to feel the love. We should learn to understand about the caring. We should learn a new way of living with each other. And in this communion ritual, we should feel God, Christ, entering us. That's why we say the body of Christ. We are eating the body of Christ. We want Christ in us. The blood of Christ. We're drinking Christ's blood. Well, it's not really blood. We know that. It's grape juice. But we want to feel the life blood, the life essence of Christ coming into us and living in us. And what is that if not love? We say God is love to our little ones. Simply, God is love. And if God is love, then we are eating and drinking something to remind us of the love coming into us, nourishing us, filling us, enlivening us, enlightening us, And then we share that with other people. Then we have something to share. Then we have something to give. Then we have something to talk about. I would like you today to think about that as you come to the rail for communion. Body and blood of Christ, broken for me, shed for me. I take this into myself so that Christ can live in me. You know what time it is. It is now the moment for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. None of us knows when we will go to meet our Maker. Some of us have come closer than others. Some of us have had moments when we thought, oh, it's my time. Or was it Fred Sanford that used to say, I'm coming, Martha, it's the big one. We never know. Could be any moment. Could be any time. Could be around the corner. Could be years from now. We don't know. We don't know when we'll be called. We don't know when we'll be called to serve. We don't know when we'll be called to go to Papua New Guinea or when we'll be called to go down the street and meet somebody at the grocery store who needs to hear about the love of Jesus Christ. We need that love living in us to nourish our love so that we may have it to overflowing, to sharing with all. So I ask you today to think about the love of Christ, to think about Christ living within us, to think about how this is a representation of that power of God that we take on, that we take in, that we give home to, so that we may live in the light of His love, that that light may shine out of us, that we may be examples of Christ, that we may be Christ-like. When you say somebody's a Christian, is it because you look at them and you say, well, you're Christ-like, so you must be Christian? Or is it just a label? Is it just the rule that you come to church? Or do you come to church because you love it? Is it just something we do? Or is it something we do that fills us with something that we share? I think it's both. We need the rules. We need the structure. There's some days when any one of us could admit that, no, I really didn't want to go to church this Sunday. No, I really didn't want to reach out to that person. I didn't feel that. But we have a rule that says that we're supposed to do those things. So we try and follow the rules. But then other times, we feel it. We feel it welling up inside of us. We feel it flowing into us. We feel it around us. We feel it in the love of other people. We feel it in the love that we have for other people. It's not going to be that way all the time, but it's certainly going to be that way some of the time. Some of the time, it's just something we do. We're Christians. We do this. And then other times, people will see it in us, that we aren't just Christians, but we are indeed like Christ. Willing to sacrifice our time, our energy, our money, ourselves, at least a little bit, for someone else in need. Because He sacrificed everything.